Chapter 12. Child Labor. Work Detail. "It's easier for me to do it," is a common reply. Another mother says, "But I feel guilty making them work. That's my job." One area in which our family was weak with the first children was the work detail. The children were, of course, given jobs here and there, but we failed to hold them responsible to a daily work detail. If I were doing it over again, this area of child training would get much more attention. In the early years, the mother is primarily responsible for this training. Simply put, when a child is old enough to take a toy out of a box, he is old enough to put it back. Mother, let your time of interaction always be training. It is natural and can actually be fun. Instead of just playing, "I'm going to get you," play, "Here's how we put our toys up. See, I put one up, now you put one up. That's good. You're a smart boy, and you help Mama so much. Keep the chores within the scope of their concentration. Too much will weary them. Too little will prevent it from being meaningful." When they are under five, it takes more time to be their employer than it does to be their servant. But the best time to establish lifelong habits is before five. By the time they are four or five, they should feel not just wanted, but needed. My Amish neighbors say that before seven, the children are a drain on the family, costing money and time. Between 7 and 14, they pay their way. After 14, they become an asset, bringing in profit. Certainly, by the time a child reaches 7, he should be making your life easier. A house full of 7-year-olds would easily be self-sustaining. It is essential to a child's self-image that he feels the value of his contribution. Though he may show a reluctance to work, he is happier when his participation is significant. Mother, if you take a little time to train when they are young, you will be able to rest more when they are older. Teach them to clean up all their own messes, and they will make fewer messes. Divide the household chores among them according to their sizes and abilities. A child working below his ability will be bored and discontent. A child challenged will be cheerful. Don't pay or bribe a child into working. Now, an exception should be made when the work is not routine household chores. When an outside job is taken on for income, they can share in the profits in realistic proportion to their work. Don't overpay a child. It is not the real world, and will tend to leave them dissatisfied when they are eventually paid no more than they are worth. A mother should always keep in mind that she is molding her daughters into future wives and mothers. Challenge them with sewing, cooking, cleaning, and learning about every aspect of household management. Let them get their hands in the dough, unless the child training teacher is coming for dinner. From the time they are big enough to tell a tale, it should be natural to hear them talking about what Mama and I did today. Fathers, by the time the boys can follow you around, they should be helping you work. My boys were climbing through the sawdust and stumbling over briars before they could see over the tops of my boots. They were bringing firewood in when they were so young that they had to team up to roll it through the door. If you leave your sons for the women to rear, don't be surprised if at 16 they act more like daughters. Recently, passing a neighbor's house, we observed an interesting scene. The father was patiently standing over his two sons, 1 and 2 years old, instructing them as they folded a tarp. The little 1-year-old's wobbly fat legs were held apart by a sagging diaper that obviously needed changing, but he was working, on his way to being daddy's man. When families were part of a larger family unit, or even when the boys were in public school, the absence of a father role was less significant. where a working father leaves his boys with a flock of girls to be homeschooled by their mother, they often lack important traits of masculinity acquired only from working with men.